Well, hello. It's good to be with you today. And for those who are watching online or via Facebook, great to have you with us today. I've been away with my gorgeous family for the past few weeks, and we've actually been away for 3 weeks, both work and play, and living in very close hotel quarters with each other for the past 3 weeks. And we got home on Tuesday, just after midday, after a 31-hour trek back from New York. And the very first thing that our gorgeous daughter, Aroha, who's now 8, said to me was, "Ah, we're home. Mummy, would you like to spend some time with me? Could we just spend some time together and enjoy each other's company for a little bit?" And I'm standing there looking at her going, "Are you not sick of me yet?" Of course, the underlying idea behind that was I was getting a little bit of sick of the close quarters myself. And you know those moments in time when all of a sudden you get just a bit of a prod from the Lord? It was one of those for me. Because we'd been together throughout that time for 3 weeks. It was pretty hectic. We were all exhausted. We'd had this long journey home. We'd come home and she just wanted to spend time with me. And I thought to myself, gosh, you're overrating my awesomeness, really. But it was a time that I felt like the Lord was speaking to me and saying, "I never want to turn you away when you want to come and spend time with me. I am always interested in spending time with you. There's never a time when we have been in close quarters too much for me. I want to spend time with you." And I felt this conviction where he was saying to me, "You are happy to spend time away from me, but I will never turn you away from spending time with me." And it was one of those moments in time that I thought, gosh, yeah, I need to listen to that. I need to listen to that prompt. You know, as we delve into the scripture and we look at the Holy Spirit, and who he is and the works of the Spirit and how he engages in our lives and how we are encouraged to engage with him, every person in this room and every person who is listening online has an idea of what they think or feel or a theology about the Holy Spirit. And for some of us, that's a scary thing. And for some of us, that's a really positive thing. But what I would love for us to do today is to come to the Lord and say, "I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time in your presence. I haven't been in close quarters too much. I'm not sick of you. I want to hear from you, Lord." And so would you pray with me as we invite him to speak to us today? Father, I thank you that you are a God who is here and you are intimate and you desire us. You are not far away, but you want to be close. You want to speak to us. You want to engage with us. You want for us to encounter you. And Lord, you know where every single one of us are coming from. You know where we're at. You know our previous experiences of your Holy Spirit. You know those of us who have held you at bay. And I want to pray, Lord God, that right in this moment you would cut across all of that and you would make your voice known to us. That you would make your intentions known to us. And we want to say to you, Lord, we want to be in your presence. We want to spend time with you. And so I pray that you would have your way in such a beautiful and powerful way today as we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start off in John chapter 14, and the reason that I want to start there is that a number of weeks ago, we were looking at how Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the upper room before he went to his crucifixion, before he was betrayed and executed and then rose to life again. And there was this moment in those chapters where Jesus started to really speak about the Holy Spirit. And us, as a preaching team, we knew that we were coming up to a series where we'd be looking at the Spirit. So we didn't delve into those chapters at that time, but I'm wanting to have a little bit of a look at what Jesus wanted to say to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. Because as he was preparing to leave, as he was preparing for his crucifixion, he wanted them to be prepared for what they should expect to happen later on. And in John chapter 14 and starting from verse 16, he says this, "I will ask the Father And he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And I just want to stop there for a moment, because he uses this word, or the way that it's been translated, is that it says, he will send you another advocate. And the word in the Greek here, paraclete, is the same word that was used to describe Jesus himself. So when he says, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another advocate, what he was saying is, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another just like me. Another the same as me. Another to continue on my ministry. Another to be like me to you. And he continues on and he says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, gosh, they must have been so confused when he was saying all of this. But we have the benefit of hindsight. And when we see what happened when Jesus ended up being crucified and then rising to life and then ascending to heaven, he said to them, go back to Jerusalem and await the Spirit. And the Spirit was to come and fulfill all of this teaching that Jesus had already done. The Spirit was to come and to dwell in them and to be, as Jesus said, another advocate, another just like me. You see, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus. And this is the most profoundly amazing plan of God. That he would choose not only to send his Son to come and to die and to sacrifice himself on behalf of humanity, to save us from our sins, to bring us to a glorious, amazing future in him, to give us eternal life. But that he would then take the Spirit of Jesus and place that Spirit within us for all time. I mean, it's extraordinary that he would choose to do that. And Jesus said to his disciples, you will do much greater things than I have done. You will see much greater things than what I have done. And the reason that he said that is because he, within his skin, was one man who could affect a certain number of people. But once his Spirit is placed within multiple people, then his ability to affect and serve and minister to multiple people all over the earth increases unbelievably. You see, the plan of God wasn't just for Jesus to come and to forgive us from our sins and give us eternal life, but it was so that he would place his Spirit in us so that the ministry and the mission of Jesus would continue forever, for all time, through his church. I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it? Absolutely amazing that the plan of God would be to place Jesus' Spirit himself in you. Little old you. With the Spirit of Jesus. Oh yeah. Spirit of Jesus in me. Cool. Isn't that unbelievable to you? I mean, it's an extraordinary thing. This is not just something to add to life. This is the Spirit of Jesus himself, placed in you with an expectation that you would continue on the mission of Jesus on this earth. And not that you would just have an expectation of it, but you would have the empowerment for it. This is what the Spirit was sent for. Now, when I grew up, I grew up in a relatively conservative church back in New Zealand. And, you know, we had great biblical teaching. We believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scripture. And, you know, we taught that Bible to the nth degree. It wasn't often that you would see anybody who had any sort of charismatic flavor in our services. Occasionally you would. We wouldn't speak about the power of the Spirit very often. And so I grew up with a really good knowledge and love for the Bible, which I'm so grateful for. And I had a deep and passionate love for Jesus. I had a deep and passionate faith. But I did not understand who the Spirit of Jesus was or what his intentions for me were. And it was about the time that I left school, and I joined up with a ministry group that was a parachurch organization, and so lots of people from lots of different denominations. And I came across these kind of crazy Holy Spirit people. And they were salt of the earth, just wonderful people. And I got on really well with them. I didn't really understand what they were talking about a lot of the time. But we, this one morning, had a devotion together. And one of the local people who was known as a really profound prophet had been invited to come and to prophesy over everybody in our team that morning. And so he did. And I don't mean he went around and prophesied, you know, just like a sentence each for each person. There were 24 of us. And every single one of us came away with an A4 page full of stuff. It took some time. And as he went around the room, and then he came to me, and he started to prophesy, and he started to talk about what God was going to do with my life and the giftings that God had placed in me, and what he was wanting to develop within me, and where I was going to go and how it was going to turn out. And I have to be honest with you, I was standing there with a fair amount of cynicism at the time. And he was speaking to me about how God wanted to birth a prophecy within me, which is quite funny because he was prophesying over me while I was being cynical, and he was prophesying that prophecy would be one of my gifts, which is quite funny. And so I'm standing there, and as he was saying all of this stuff, I had this little thought in the back of my mind, well, look, it could be right and it might be wrong and it doesn't really matter. I'll just take it. It'll be written down and we'll see. And about halfway through the prophecy, he just stopped mid-sentence and he says, "And you have a good singing voice." And I thought, what a weird thing to say. You know, I mean, I've sung for most of my life. I didn't really need to be told that I could sing, so weird. But it occurred to me at that moment that actually this man knew nothing about me. There's no way that he could have known that I was a singer. I was a singer in this particular ministry. There's no way that he would have known that about me. And it occurred to me that the Lord was wanting to let me know to stop, to shush, and to listen. Because he was actually speaking some profound things over my life. And what he wanted to do was to cut across the cynicism and say, hey, I'm a God who speaks through people today. So listen. I'm going to give this man a little bit of information about who you are so that you'll stop and go, oh, he actually knows what he's talking about. And so at that point, I started to listen. And thank goodness somebody was taking notes as well. I had an A4 sheet. I still have it to today. And I want to tell you, every single word on that page has come to pass in my life. It took about 15 years. That was about 25 years ago. And it was this profound moment where all of a sudden I got to see that the Spirit of God living in someone could profoundly affect the way someone else sees life. Could actually change the trajectory of a person, could change the faith of a person, could transform the way someone thinks. And I went with that and I realized the Holy Spirit is wanting to engage with me. It was just a couple of months after that, and we were having another one of our morning devotion times in the same team, and I had been dealing with a chronic illness for well over a year, and that particular morning I just felt like God was going to heal me. And so I said, would you pray for me? And I had all of these women come around and they laid hands on me. And as they began to pray for me, I felt this sensation from the tip of my head right down to the soles of my feet, this tingling sensation, and I was healed instantly, never to return again. You see, I saw all of a sudden and experienced with my own eyes, with my own body, the power of the Spirit of God working through someone to bring the ministry of Jesus to someone. You see, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus that we have indwelling within us is there with a desire to be Jesus through you, to bring his ministry to this earth through his followers. His spirit exists in you so that you would actually behave like him, so that you would do the things that he did. That is why the Spirit is placed in his church. It's not so that we would have a nice time. It's so that the mission and the ministry of Jesus would continue on throughout this earth through us. But my question, church, today is, if each of us has the Spirit of Jesus living in us, then how come we are not seeing the power of God much more than we are? How come we are not seeing healings? How come we are not hearing his voice through prophets? How come we are not having people say words of knowledge? How come we're not seeing supernatural gifts of helps that are actually changing someone's life, changing someone's trajectory through us the way that Jesus did when he walked this earth? And we didn't get a watered down version of Jesus' spirit. There's actually no such thing. We have Jesus, his spirit, living in us. Now, Paul speaks of the fruit of the spirit in Galatians, and he talks about the fruit, basically talking from the perspective of the tree. If it's watered and fertilized with the spirit, it will produce the following things. It'll produce love, it'll produce joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus. Why? Because it's Jesus' character. If we live from a place where we are, as Pastor Tim was saying a couple of weeks ago, if we're saying, come, Holy Spirit, then those things in Jesus' character will start to come out of us. Have you got a difficulty loving? Difficulty with loving people, difficulty with self-control, live by the Spirit. Engage with the Spirit. Ask for a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit every day. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus is the character of Jesus. And that's how he lived his life. He always had those characteristics. He operated out of a place of love and peace and patience and kindness, of self-control. That is the character of Jesus, and it is available to us not just through working harder, not just through living some moral life, but by asking for the Holy Spirit to come and to overtake us and to change us. But then Paul also talks about something else. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are not just the fruit that happens once you engage with the Spirit and your life is watered by the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are exactly that. They're gifts to us. They're not something we can earn. They're not something that we can just hope for or somehow attain from someone else. They are given to us. And the gifts of the Spirit are Jesus' power. You see, what I think often about us as the people of God is that we find ourselves in a place where we look at who Jesus is and we go, I like that. I like the man Jesus. I like how he lived his life. I like the character of who he was. I like how he went and he did his miracles and he stood up to the religious authorities and he loved and cared for the poor and he was a servant and he was humble. I like all of the things about Jesus, but the Spirit is scary. I don't know that I want to engage with the Spirit because he could be kooky, he could make me do crazy things, I might be a little bit fearful, I might look a little bit weird. I don't really know whether I want to engage with that, but what I want to say to you today is the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Once the Spirit is working through us, all he's getting us to do is behave exactly like Jesus did. So the gifts of the Spirit enable us to have the power of Jesus at hand in life. So you can imagine when Jesus walked into a place and he saw a person who was unwell sitting at the pool of Bethesda. And this person desperately wanting healing, this man. paraplegic, wanting healing. And Jesus walked into that place and he looked through the crowds and he saw that man. And he walked up to him and he told him to pick up his mat on the Sabbath and go home. And the man got up and he walked. That is the power of Jesus. It is also a gift of the Spirit. You see what I'm saying here? It is available to us. The Spirit of Jesus living in us requires us to be eager to engage with him in those gifts so that we can live out the mission of Jesus. Because you see, so much of the time we just try so hard to be good moral people who are a great standard in society for people to look at. And we try so hard to exude the fruit of the Spirit to look like good quality people that someone would want to know with good character. And we think that that's where it ends. But in actual fact, the ministry and the mission of Jesus was largely placed in power acts. Jesus would walk around healing people, and that's how he got them to follow him. There were a number who followed him because of his words and his wisdom, but there were tons who saw the power that he had, the miracles that he performed, and they chose to follow him because of that. And so my question is, if we have the power of Jesus living in us in the Spirit, why are we not engaging in healings? Why are we not engaging in prophecy? Why are we not getting words of knowledge for the checkout chick who we're standing next to as we get our groceries? Why not? I was watching a video just yesterday of a man who his ministry is just to walk around and wait on what God is saying and just pray for healing for people. And he went into the middle of Times Square. Within about half an hour, he had a crowd all around him because everybody he prayed for was healed. On this video, you can see a leg 2 inches short grow. On this video, you can see a young man who sought this man out with a collarbone that was broken, totally healed in 30 seconds, going like this. And as I'm watching, I'm going, this is astounding. You know what the Spirit said to me? No, it's not. You should be saying that all the time. You know, when was the last time that I walked up to somebody in the street and said, hey, I can see you've got a difficulty there. Can I pray for you? And then commanded that to get better. I know a lot of you are looking at me going, I'm struggling with this. But I want to say to you, we need to ramp up our faith in what the Spirit can do because he will grow in us according to our faith. And the more that we choose to engage with what the Spirit wants to do in our lives, the more this world will be changed. And doesn't it desperately need to be? You see, our faith is not about standing up and yelling from the rooftops about what's right and what's wrong in this world. Our faith should be about representing who Jesus is and seeing the Spirit of God change people's lives around us. You can have a stand-up argument with someone who's an atheist. And you may convince them, and you may not. But if they see the power of God moving in their body, and they can't explain it, you won that argument. Because God did it by his power. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. And as I read that, I thought, gosh, that's harsh, but you know what? It's true. We need to be people who don't just give verbal assent to who the Holy Spirit is, but actively engage with him. People who stand before him every morning and say, I choose to be promptable. I choose to follow what you are going to do in me today, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, if that means you're going to lead me to somebody and I might look like an idiot, I do not care because it is your power that will follow through when I choose to obey. And it doesn't mean that the very first thing that you do today is to walk out and pray for someone who's got a terminal illness. What it means is that you take a small step and you say, I'm going to pray for someone who's got a stub toe. I'm going to step into that zone. I'm going to ask for the Lord to speak to me, to show me what prophecy is, to show me what it is when he speaks and says words and it changes someone's life. I had someone come to me after the first service and say, how do you know? You know, I'm asking the Lord, what is he saying? And I don't know, I can't hear him. And I said, okay, I want you to look at this one person right here in front of you. Now ask, what's God saying to them? Within 30 seconds, she had something. Because she had focused, Lord, what do you want to say to that person? I want to say to you, church, the Holy Spirit is dying to get into our communities through us. And we are timid. But you know what Paul says to Timothy? He says, the Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit is wanting to bestow upon his people gifts and to give us the courage to be able to step out. And Paul speaks about these gifts in Ephesians 4 and Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and it is not an exhaustive list. And he talks about them and he says, each of us operate in these, each one of you operate in these supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And the really interesting thing about Paul is that in 1 Corinthians 14, when he starts to speak to the church in Corinth about the way that they're dealing with their spiritual gifts, because they started to compete with each other. And they were starting to go, oh, tongues is the most important gift because it's really like, ooh, you know, and if you can speak in tongues, then you must be like super spiro. And if you can't, then what, you know, you're just not as good as the rest of us. And so they were actually starting to compete with their spiritual gifts with each other. And do you know what Paul's response to them was? Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Never once did Paul turn around to these people who were using the gifts badly and say to them, listen, tone it down. Back off, would you? You're going a little nuts with the gifts of the Spirit. Would you just tone it back, please? Because it's too much. It's too intense. He never does that. His response to them is eagerly desire gifts. He goes hard. He says, get more. You know what? Get some wisdom. Do everything in love. Figure out how to be good Christians with it. But by the way, ask for more. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I want to ask you today, when was the last time that you asked God, that you eagerly desired a gift of the Spirit, that you begged God to bestow upon you a power encounter by his Spirit that would start to change the lives of the people in your world? When was the last time you asked? Because we are destined to be world changers. Why? Because we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. How can we be walking around passive and making no difference in our world if we have the Spirit of Jesus bursting out of us? Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says. In Ephesians 5:18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I love this. In other words, don't be under the influence of alcohol, which affects your behavior, your reasoning ability, and your inhibition. But be under the influence of the Spirit, which affects your behavior, your reasoning ability, and your inhibition. Be under the influence of the Spirit because he will affect everything that you do in your life. And as you're walking down the street and as you are cultivating this relationship with him, as you are walking next to him, as you are asking to be refilled by him every morning as you get up and you walk down the street and he will be tapping you on the shoulder saying, pray for that person, go and speak to that person, do this, do that. And as you start to obey, your heart will soften to the voice of the Lord and you will see the power of Jesus starting to live out in your life and this world will start being transformed because of him in you. That is simply the way of it. But we have to eagerly desire and we have to choose to obey and respond to him. I know he's wanting to release a lot of us into this today. But first of all, there are some of us who actually just need to repent. Because we have allowed our desire to become dormant. Or we have been holding a hand up to God and saying, I don't want that part of you. And so right now, all across this place where you are, I would ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. And for those of you watching, wherever you're watching from, right now, even in front of your computers, bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you are someone this morning and you need to repent of holding the Spirit of God at arm's length, or at not responding when he has been asking you to respond, I'm going to ask you to do something courageous. I'm going to ask for you to stand right now. Wherever you are, stand up. And I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance over you. Father, I thank you that you are a God who saves. You are a God who delivers us, and you are a God who forgives. And these wonderful, honest, vulnerable people who have stood here today or wherever they are have stood up in your presence to say, I repent. I want to pray for your forgiveness right now. And not just your forgiveness, Lord God, but Holy Spirit, that you would fill them afresh. That you would give them a new beginning, that you would give them a new start and a new vision for what you want to do in their lives. Holy Spirit, that you would become powerful and vibrant, that you would pour fuel upon the fire, upon the flame in their heart, and you would become the predominant voice in their minds. That they would know your leading and that you would give them the courage to step out and to obey you. If there's anyone here today or listening who you want to operate in the gift of prophecy, you've always felt within your soul that God wanted to speak through you to other people, I want you to stand up right now. You have always wanted God to speak through you to other people. Stand up. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus right now, I ask that you would fan into flame the gift of prophecy in every single one of these people. That it would be powerful, that it would be profound, that they would know your voice, they'd know how to discern you speaking, that they would know the voice of the Lord, and that you would bestow upon them the wisdom to know when to speak and how to speak. And I pray that they would become powerful in your name. That as they speak out your words, transformation would happen and lives would be changed. Now I know there are people in here today as well, and you have always dreamed to heal. You've wanted to heal. And you want to be someone who is known as a healer in the power of Jesus. Stand up. Come on, stand up. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch each one of these who is also standing now. Gift them with healing. Gift them. I pray that as you place that deposit within their soul, that it would start to flourish, that you would fan it into flame, that you would show them people to come and speak to, that you would show them people to pray for, and not to beg you for their healing, but that you would actually just show them how to command healing in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord God, that people would be healed, and I pray that people would come to you, come to faith, because they see the power of Jesus in these people at work. And I want to pray, Lord God, that for us as the people of God, that we would be known as Spirit-filled, that we would be known as obedient to you, that we would be exuding not just your characteristics, which we love your character, but that we would also exude your power. by your Holy Spirit, because Lord, we know that it changes lives. And if there were any other way to do it, you would have chosen to do it a different way. This is how you chose to minister, Lord. And so in obedience, we choose to follow you. And I pray for all of us, everyone stand now. I pray for all of us that you would instill within us an eagerness and a desire for your Spirit to grow, to be transformed, to be changed, to be built up. And I pray that every time we obey you, Lord God, you would build our faith for more. And I ask that for every one of my brothers here and listening today, in the matchless name of Jesus.